Today's reading is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. If your brother or sister sins against you, go and correct them when you are alone together. If they listen to you, then you've won over your brother or sister. But if they won't listen, take with you one or two others, so that every word may be established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. But if they still won't pay attention, report it to the church. If they won't pay attention even to the church, treat them as you would a Gentile and tax collector. I assure you that whatever you fasten on earth will be fastened in heaven, and whatever you loosen on earth will be loosened in heaven. Again, I assure you that if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, then my Father who is in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there with them.
I think most of you know I'm a foodie. I love good food. And it comes by honestly, because my father was in the restaurant business in Santa Monica, and so not too shabby. And before that, San Francisco, and so my life would be in high-end restaurants, back in the kitchen, getting to put black olives or what on my fingers, and so I am comfortable in a kitchen where there's people to wash my dishes. No. In a big kitchen, right? And I am comfortable at a table. And the thing about the restaurant business is it's word of mouth, right? Even in these days of apps and apps for apps and apps for apps for apps, the best way that you know about a restaurant is somebody tells you, amen? And then, if the restaurant has not done so well, that goes as fast as wildfire. Amen? Amen? And the restaurants that made it through COVID were the ones that just were creative and innovative and improvised. And how did you find out about it? Word of mouth, right? So that's kind of what today's scripture is about. Word of mouth. And knowing what restaurant to go to. Oh, no. No, but it is about communication and telling the other. And it's not about the ends, but about the means. You know, the other profession that is really good at word of mouth is politics. So in my many facets of being a religious leader, in a couple of my iterations, when I was the director of social justice for Church Council of Greater Seattle, and then when I was the first chaplain to Planned Parenthood, the things they tell you in training when you're gonna get ready to lobby your elected leaders is, they like data, but tell them your story. Amen? Tell them your story. It's always so much more valuable to say from a religious perspective what it's like to be at the side of a person who has gone through a botched abortion. Tell them the story. Tell them what it means. Why do we have so many campers living in Seattle along the waterways? Because there's not a livable wage. We have to tell the story. So that's what Jesus and the disciples have been doing. They've been building this movement. They've been building this church, right, as we've been going through the weeks. They shared the meal with the 4,000, right, or 5,000 plus three more because you count the women and the children, right? Remember that miracle? They Hillary preempted our day. We would have talked about the Cyrene Phoenician woman, the mother who said, Jesus, heal my child. And Jesus said, you're right. I did come here to heal your child. I wasn't going to, but you reminded me I'm here for everybody. So that has happened. We also just had the story about the lost sheep. Go get the one. So these are all the stories and the teachings that have been going on before this moment. Things are getting a little tense, right? The Pharisees and Sadducees, the political leaders, are realizing this Jesus and his ragtag of friends that do things a little bit differently, they're getting a little too popular. So we're going to start gossiping about them and start doing word of mouth things. And so here's Jesus' response to the disciples. Don't let gossip get you down. Let us go speak and speak on our behalf. And so if you're going to someone who is feeling they're not getting the truth, or you've messed up, or you, Jesus is saying, go and talk to them individually. And if that doesn't work, take a brother or sister with you. Be a witness. Tell the truth. And again, you're not going to go rile something up. You're going to reconcile. You're going to build on the relationship. You're going to tell your story. Your perspective is legit. So maybe a little something about their court systems back then. That's exactly how they worked. It was the one party could speak, the other party could speak, and then it was always looking for reconciliation, not punishment. It's a different way to look at things, isn't it? Especially in these days where we keep hearing about court cases, and we're going to keep hearing about court cases, aren't we? This isn't about law. Jesus is all about relationship. So in seminary, you get to sit around and talk about these things, right? You get to see, like, and there's always this question that comes up. Does the ends justify the means? Jesus is saying, no, never. Sometimes it's not about being right. It's about being in right relationship. Does that make sense? Speaking of relationships, I have found Mike Carrigus Asparagus. I have found a coffee shop that I can go work at during the day, my coffice. And at my coffice, I'm now meeting other regulars. And so we break into conversation about life, the universe, and everything. And at my particular coffice, this woman was reading about John Lewis. Representative John Lewis, 18-year-old John Lewis. We just celebrated the 60th anniversary of the March on Washington. John Lewis was the youngest speaker, and he was the one that wasn't allowed to be broadcast because his speech was too radical. I'd say find it, take a look at it. So she's reading about John Lewis. We're going back and forth. And of course, the history I specialize in is the civil rights, then that goes back to the abolitionist movement. So she tells me she's going to be taking a tour of the Deep South, seeing all the freedom rights actions. And I told her I got to meet John Lewis and speak with him once, and then told her a few other folks. And I said, so I'm here to help you with your tour. So. And then she told me about the movie Till. I hadn't seen it yet. I was kind of scared to see it because I know the story. We all know the story, right? 14-year-old boy from Chicago going down to visit his cousins and evidently was a little too uppity with the young woman at the counter, and then was beaten and lynched to death. So I said, okay. She goes, it's really good. I said, okay. So I watched it this week, and I got, as I'm mulling over this text, and I thought, this is what Jesus means about telling your story, being a witness, speaking your truth, and doing it in the name of God. So let me unpack that a little bit for us. Of course, there's a trial, well, sort of, right? There's an event that takes place in Mississippi, an all-white male jury, and they were having a problem getting witnesses to the crime, to the murder, to, because Emmett Till was taken from his cousin's house and kidnapped. And Mama Till goes to the Deep South. She tells her relatives, she goes, I have to go, and I have to go watch this. I have to be at the trial. They have to see the mother. And they, of course, were from Mississippi. They're scared to death that they will lose their daughter, too. But she goes. She meets a young Medgar Evers. He is her escort. And the importance of this is she needed to be a witness. She needed to tell her story. She had others with her so she could tell her story. She went to her relative's home to say, why will you not testify? Said, if we testify, no black person has ever spoken against white people here in Mississippi and lived. So these are the stakes. But she got one of her cousins to testify. And as I learned from a mentor yesterday, he said, yeah, when he was going on jury duty, the judge said to the jury, they said, you've got the prosecutor and you got the defense lawyer, and they're gonna yap and yap and yap and yap and talk, but they don't have anything important to say. What you need to listen to are the witnesses. So we all know how that trial ends up. The trial ends up, these folks are acquitted. They never see jail for this crime. But what it did for Mrs. Till is it turned her into a storyteller. And she was a woman of deep faith. And it turned her into an activist. So she spent the rest of her life speaking in front of families, both black and white, seeking for reconciliation and giving a voice to her son, who didn't have one. She told her story, and that actually was considered one of the first and turning points in the freedom rights movement, in pushing things forward. Remember, her son's bludgeoned face was on Time magazine and was in every newspaper in America. What had been a deep, dark secret in the Deep South has now been outed because she was willing to be a witness. And every time she spoke, she always first said, and I give my thanks to God, for God is the one who has me here and has led me here. So she knew the only way to change the world is to look for reconciliation, to carry that word of mouth, to speak with others, to travel with others. She got to do it for a really long time. She lived till 2003. Isn't that amazing? So a really dastardly, evil, evil act was able to be something to carry the truth on. So yes, friends, it's never about the ends. It's always about the means. Relationship and friendship and being in community of Christ together is much more important than the whatever. Because as we learned this week at a pastor and a rabbi go to a bar, it's not about the end of the journey. It's about doing the journey. Amen? Do we all get that? Yes. So we have quite a journey ahead of us here at Fairview. You have an opportunity. I don't know. What would you rather do on a Tuesday night? Do Zoom? Yes, let's do Zoom. And it's only for an hour and a half, but we're doing it for the next three Tuesdays so we can build. We know we're building on some really great Holy Spirit energy, but this will help us get systems in place, communication better, more professional angle. We're working on and so how do we get there when we're a small quirky church? besides with God. We'll just get a few things in place. So I invite us to do that, and then the finale will be Jenny, who is our consultant, will come and spend 6 hours with us on the patio, and everyone is welcome to that as well. And it's not a meeting, it's a retreat, and it'll be fun and games. And Jenny, let me tell you a little bit more about Jenny. She and I have known each other for 30 plus years. I was her camp counselor, and it's been fun. I recruited her to ministry at Illinois State University. Thank you very much. Jim's like, I'm not even looking at you, Monica. I'm just not even. But anyway, it's been fun. She's doing a new church plant, so she knows what it means to start from zero. We, of course, aren't starting from zero. And she's the one I told you about that got kicked out of her building, right? Yeah, this week, in between our meetings, in between she and I's meeting, she's like, I'll get that Zoom link to you. I got to go buy a building. So all their loans went through. They got to buy a building, and they're having an open house this week, and so it'll be fun to show you pictures. So not only does Jenny have the training, and she's certified as a professional consultant and coach and all those things that you do when you do those things, but she also knows what it's like to have a quirky church that people want to push out because they welcome everybody, and that she beat the system, got a loan where $60,000 of it's going to be forgiven, because the folks giving her the loan know that that's the better thing to do. That's called relationship, right? So Jenny not only has the skills, she has a doctorate from the Kellogg School of Management from Northwestern, but she also has the passion and the heart, and she understands exactly what we're doing here at Fairview and Fair Road. So I invite you to check in. I think we're going to record everything. Meetings will never be this fun. So I invite us all to be part of this journey. And remember, it's about we getting to know each other along the way as we do this journey together. I mean, the cool thing is we don't know what the end will be, except that we continue to be here and make a difference for all on the corner of Fairview and Fair Road. Are you all for that? Are we for that? Yeah, I think we're for that. Amen. So let us continue to tell our stories and be a witness. Starting with Jane is going to start right now with doing a piano piece for us. And this will be instead of we singing together, we're going to start doing this more often too. Special music as part of the service. So welcome.